What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on the Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliet Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
Boom.
Listen, people, if you want to be part of this podcast, if you want to talk to us, you don't even need to call Food News. Just call us. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 646-STEW-138. Once again, that's 646-STEW-138. 783-9138. All right, into today's stories. We are starting where every story begins with Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Swiftie fatigue?
No.
Oh, wow. I do. I cover her really closely, though. I don't know if you know, but she went to the Super Bowl.
I saw.
She was on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
She was chugging beer.
Yeah.
It went viral.
Yep. Jumbotron, though, not the broadcast.
Jumbotron, not broadcast. Correct. I have a theory about that.
I'd love to hear it.
I feel certain that she cooperated with whoever is running the Jumbotron to be like, this is the time we're going to turn to you and just like be ready. Because she was so ready. And just like ready to go. And I think that like you can work more closely with the venue than you can with the TV broadcast. Cause like a live director, like,
yeah. And the broadcast,
they're doing what's
people,
best for you.
The broadcast people aren't as malleable and they might look at that and frown upon that and say, we're covering the game. We're journalists, like, you know, like nose in the air type of stuff.
You think they just were only going to go to her when Travis Kelce caught the ball?
Yeah. I think they had a lot of discussions about how much and how often
sure,
and how long
topic.
They were going to go to her. So I think that they weren't going to let the NFL dictate that. So I think that that's why your theory might hold some weight, but it's really disappointing, right?
What?
This theory of yours.
Oh.
Because to me, it came off she came off very likable
during
the whole Super Bowl experience. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, she seemed like a fan. She seemed really into the game. It seemed like she was having fun. Her box was fun. Like I walk away from this whole NFL season liking Taylor Swift more than before the NFL season.
Okay.
And then why I think your theory might be true is the following. I don't know her name, but I'm sure you do. Sansa from Game of Thrones.
Sophie Turner.
Boom. Sophie Turner. She chugged wine at a Rangers game one
mm-hmm.
time. And it was like, wow, Sophie Turner's fucking awesome.
She's cool.
Right? And I feel like Taylor Swift might have seen that and been like.
They're really good friends.
Exactly. And been like, oh, I can just do that and people will like me.
Sure.
More.
Also, it's like she's cosplaying football culture right now. Like she's playing the WAG. She's
yes.
playing. She's like. She's wearing the t-shirt that says sports, that says football. Like,
yes.
Her team happens to be the Chiefs, but it has nothing to do with the Chiefs other than her boyfriend, right? Like,
yes.
There's nothing about it, which is fine. I love sports as entertainment, so I get it. But yes, I think she's just, like, playing a role right now. And I think she's, like, in a phase, which maybe will be the rest of her life if this is true love. But who knows?
Because the thing is we don't have a lot of footage of this particular chug because it was on the Jumbotron, so we have secondhand footage. We have someone pointing their phone at the Jumbotron, which is all we've seen on it, because what we don't see in the clip that I watched is usually when you're on the Jumbotron, you're doing your regular thing, and there's this, like, oh, my God moment.
Yeah, it's like that Jeff Goldblum moment recently.
Yeah, we're like, whoa, like, I'm on the Jumbotron, and then sometimes people kind of freak out a little bit and then chug,
yeah.
right? It's usually like a... But hers was more just like, I just saw the chugging. I didn't see the like, oh, or
she
someone
made it
tap
seem
on the
like
shoulder.
She was mid, like about to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like no one like tapped on the shoulder and pointed to the Jumbotron. And then she's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do with my hands? Ah, chug. That's like, that's how Sophie Turner did it.
Totally. And like, if you are on like the kiss cam and you're like, oh, we're not kissing. Like it's good to like chug or something like that. Right.
Yes.
She was just ready to go. She was also in the very front of the box, which is not where she was for the whole game.
Good point.
She was like ready.
She was kind of like straddling the edge of the box.
She was sitting a really good view for the camera.
And she slammed the cup down at the end was the big move.
Big slam.
Fuck, Juliet, you're right.
Yeah.
That was contrived.
I study Taylor Swift. I'm like very familiar with her moves.
That's one of her moves.
One of her moves. Mm. Let's move on.
Okay.
To later in the night when she and Travis Kelce, so much media about them in the club, chain smokers.
We've seen it, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but they had chicken fingers at 5 a.m.
Got it. Something's got to soak up the booze. But this, to me, also seems a little planted because she so famously ate chicken fingers at the first Chiefs game that she went to with Seemingly Ranch.
Seemingly Ranch, yeah.
So it just seems like this is a little too on the nose that I'm not even buying it either. I don't believe anything anymore. Are they even in a relationship?
I don't think he seems like he would fake a relationship, but he definitely wants to be famous. So I don't know. It's a little hard to say.
Yeah.
But I
like their relationship, and I support
Taylor
and
Travis. I think
it's
good for the world, so I support
Me
it, too.
Do you remember his reality show?
Catching Kelce, of course.
Yeah.
I think Robert Mays covered it for The Ringer.
Yeah,
for
people that don't know, Catching Kelce, the thing about his particular reality dating show was that he dated one woman from each state.
Yeah.
So it was like, there was like Alaska and like Missouri and North Dakota and South Dakota. Yeah, exactly.
A dating pageant.
Was a nice wrinkle, you know?
He was early, you know?
It was way early in his whole thing. And I don't think he was his camera ready
yet. And it was sort of like early to reality dating, too.
Yes,
so,
and he wasn't like famous like he even before Taylor Swift.
It was like 10 years ago. I think it was in 2013 or 2014. So
yeah.
He had like just gotten to the league basically.
Yeah.
He's currently 34. So he was
Shout to him. He went from like Miss Virginia, like or the Virginia representative
to Miss America.
To Miss America.
Yeah.
Boom, great transition. Let's move on.
Next, we mentioned dating. You watching the season of The Bachelor?
No.
Can I tell you about something that happened this week on The Bachelor?
Yeah.
It's a good season. It's the best season in many years.
Really? Oh, great.
Many.
Great.
I recommend catching up. They were in Malta, and they were doing some kind of like competition where they were like seeming like knights or something. Malta is where Ned Stark got beheaded, in case you were wondering.
Right. Copy that. I'm on season 7 of my rewatch.
So this is back in season 1, if you can recall.
Yeah, I do remember.
It's a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a maypole with like strings around it. And you know how like little kids like will like march around the maypole?
Yeah, I saw the link. Yes.
So it was a pole that was swinging. It looked kind of like a tilt-a-whirl. It looked like it was just like strings on a pole. And at the end of the strings were sausages.
Mm.
And the women were supposed to catch a sausage using just their mouth.
Yes.
And whoever did it won the challenge or something. So it resulted in like several minutes of women being hit in the face with sausages. But Joey, to his credit, was like, I'm not letting them do this by themselves. And he did it, too. That's why he's a great bachelor.
So I originally was exposed to this from Olivia Munn on her first show. I forget what it was
Attack
called.
Attack of the Show.
Attack of the Show. Right. And there's a clip of her doing this. And the gif went viral. Right. So like it's easily found. And so this is a thing, but I don't know.
I didn't know it was a thing. I am not the target demo for Olivia Munn being hit in the face with a sausage.
I don't know if you know this, but there's the sausages have a phallic shape. I don't know if you caught these undertones.
I don't know if you know this, but men love Olivia Munn.
Yes. Yes. So the undertone is that perhaps these women using just their mouths to catch sausages and being hit in the face with sausages, it might be a little innuendo there. Maybe a little bit, a little subtle innuendo.
Didn't catch it. It was so fucking gross. That's all I could see.
Yeah,
it was like they were all complaining. But I got to say, this season, the challenges are like so low budget. It's very funny.
Oh, really? They're going like campy?
Yeah, like so far they've basically done capture the flag, but make it Bachelor.
Okay.
They've done sausages on a stick, catch it with your mouth. There was they did like a paintball competition. Was just like throwing paintball at each other.
It sounds like a bachelor party.
It's like seriously, it was like it's like been so low budget. It's been hilarious. So I've been into it.
Great.
All right, let's move on. Next we have Chex Mix, Jacoby.
Mm.
Travel snack. I actually just was on a flight this week. It didn't have Chex Mix, but
how do you feel about
Chex
Mix in general?
In general, love, but I can't just have like a little and then I'm like a salt. I'm just like, I'm all salt because I've had a lot of Chex Mix. But I like the sweet Chex Mix too.
Like the chocolate ones with the powder, sugar?
So good.
Yeah, that's a for straight up dessert.
So this is an article about the price of Chex Mix. And
in airports.
In airports specifically. And specifically at LaGuardia Airport here in New York, where it's $9.99. Whereas in Indianapolis, it's $5.99, and in Dallas, it's $4.76.
It's a cool story. I think this is a woman is a comedian, and she travels.
Kylie Brakeman.
And she gets Chex Mix everywhere she goes, and she crowdsourced this, and people just started writing her and taking pictures. And so she got the Chex Mix price at the various different airports, and they pretty much are what you would expect.
Yeah, it correlates to like more expensive cities.
Exactly. Like it's if you like did the graph of Chex Mix versus the graph of like median rent of a one bedroom, they're probably exactly the same.
That's a great way of putting it.
I don't think I used median correct, to be honest with you. Mean? Mean.
No, median is usually how they do it.
Okay, good.
Because like it can be draw, you know, the highest rent in the city can draw it out or whatever. It is cool. What's your go-to airport snack?
Oh, wow.
Because I never had Chex Mix. So that's an interesting one to me. Like yesterday, I'll just tell you, I had a 3 o'clock flight out of LA. And so I was at the airport at like, I got there not that early. So like 2 o'clock. And then I boarded 30 minutes later. And I just didn't want people to think that I was cutting it that close. But I wanted to get dinner. So I got a peanut butter and jelly, some grapes.
Wow.
A Rice Krispie treat and like some other candy that I didn't eat that was not good, and a Coke Zero and a coffee. So it was really
wow. See, I don't go caffeine on planes because I want to sleep.
I just find coffee so soothing that it's not even like a caffeine thing for me.
I will often try to be healthy, right? So I won't get like candies or chips or something. And a lot of times I end up with those little hummus cups with the pretzel.
Sure.
But it's so boring.
Sneaky, not healthy.
I know. When I found out hummus wasn't healthy, I was like, it doesn't even taste good.
It's just that, like, it's just a lot of calories. So yeah. Whatever. I love hummus. You
I like those.
Good?
One thing I also go to a lot is those pre-sliced, like, sliced a month and a half ago, celery and carrots with a little ranch dip.
Gross, yeah.
I do that sometimes. Really gross. And sometimes I'll do sort of, like, it's kind of like the box that you can buy, but, like, one of those sort of, like, a plastic film on top with some sort of processed meats and some cheeses and some like crackers.
You make bad choices, man.
That not just at the airport when it comes to food. I make bad choices across the board. That's just a microcosm of my decision making.
I've kind of started getting into bringing my own food.
The thing is, I don't like being on their terms.
Well, I just, as you might know, I like what I like. And I'm like, I know that I'm going to like this, so I'm going to bring it. So it's really a question of A, did I have time? B, what time is my flight? And and C, am I willing to carry it? Do I have room in my bag?
Yeah, I always have a bottle of water too that I bring.
I have a water bottle.
Oh, at all times.
Yeah,
I'm familiar.
Yeah, I made you like 10 minutes with late for this podcast last week, so I could buy a new water bottle at Whole Foods.
Yeah, that was weird.
Thanks for waiting with me.
No problem.
All right, let's move on. Red Lobster is giving away 150 endless lobster experiences.
Okay.
Do I need this much lobster?
I always want my lobster experience to end. I want all of my experience to end. Like we've spoken about this before. I do not like all you can eat.
Lobster is just like also a really difficult food to eat. Like takes a lot of labor. So do you really want to be like doing that forever?
Well, the thing is not endless. It's 2 hour window.
Sure.
So that's and it's in it's in it.
Like, 2 hours of lobster eating is still a lot of work. Long.
It's still a lot. And I've never had like a lobster. I've had a lobster and still been hungry. But I've never, but like they have like two lobsters. I'm never gonna be like, let me have a third lobster.
Me neither.
This doesn't sound appetizing to me.
I would want everything that came with it. Like I actually would be willing to pay as much if I was like looking for a really gluttonous experience. Like it comes with the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
I would want everything that goes around the lobster, but I wouldn't want the lobster itself.
I like also, lobster.
Lobster's so rich. I feel like they're banking on the fact that people won't be able to eat enough lobster to really make it worthwhile.
Do you know one thing I realized about my lobster experiences in the past, like, 4 or 5 years?
What's that?
Claw meat way better than tail meat.
Oh, interesting. What's the difference?
Softer.
Okay.
Less chewy. And just, like, it's just, like, a nicer bite.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Should I try to get into lobster for 2024?
Yes.
Should we make food resolutions?
Whoa. Next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
And like for Q2, we will solemnly swear to do certain things. All right, let's move on to talking about Pop-Tarts. I fucking love Pop-Tarts. They were like a forbidden fruit in my home growing up. I remember once when I was a child, like the toaster caught on fire. And so then my dad was like, you may not have Pop-Tarts anymore.
What?
It set the toaster on fire.
The Pop-Tarts set the toaster on fire? Sounds like whatever was in the toaster before you toasted the Pop-Tart is what set the toaster on fire. Toaster fires are often because there's food particles at the bottom.
Well, something about that and the Pop-Tarts made them unallowed.
So this is really interesting because I've been aware of this story for quite some time. It came out earlier this week, and the guy's name is William Post, who helped create the Pop-Tart.
And he died.
Okay. There's a little piece of this article that I found really interesting.
What's that?
They said, if you go to the official history of the Pop-Tart website, William Post is not mentioned. So his son, Dan Post, in this New York Times article, goes on and on to talk about that he was given 2 weeks to develop the Pop-Tart by Keebler's, and he would bring samples home to the kids, and then Dan sort of took some credit himself. He's like, yeah, we would tell him what was good and what was bad. And one day he decided that, why don't you put those through the icer? Why don't you glaze those? Like, he had all these, like, firsthand stories of William Post creating the Pop-Tart, like, basically in his home kitchen. But you go to the official history of the Pop-Tart, there is no mention of William Post.
How do we even know this is true?
That's what I'm saying.
Who can confirm it?
Like,
only Dan Post?
I guess, but Dan Post is obviously going to ride for William Post. And there might be a legal thing. Like, maybe Keebler doesn't want to, like, document the fact that, like, someone outside the company created the Pop-Tart. But it's a really interesting thing. Like, if William Post is the creator of the Pop-Tart, as everyone thinks he is, including the New York Times, why isn't there a mention of his name when you click on the official history of the Pop-Tart?
There must have been some kind of agreement because Kellogg does still like claim him. Like there was a video on the Kellogg website that had Mr. Post, yes, William Post in it talking about the frosting and everything. So there must have been some kind of like buyout or like
something.
Hush money. Like, yes, okay, you maybe have a claim to this, but kind of, sort of. And so we'll give you some credit, but not a lot.
I found it really interesting. And I also, when you look at the original Pop-Tarts, they have this really nice element to them. They're like perforated diagonally from upper corner to lower corner.
So you can split them.
So you can split them in half into two triangular pieces.
Yeah.
And that sounded, I was like, oh, that's very helpful.
That seems like a fire hazard, though, because then the insides are being exposed.
What is it with you and Pop-Tarts and fire?
I was traumatized.
No, no, no. I want you to explain yourself. Why would a Pop-Tart that you can split in half easily be a fire hazard?
Maybe the jelly is flammable.
What is going on in this conversation? Explain to me how a Pop-Tart will spontaneously combust because you split it in half.
It's with the heat.
What are you talking
about? The heat plus the sugar is flammable.
Do you know how the word flammable works?
Yes. It's like when you glaze something, it's because it's flammable. Like when you take a flame to a banana.
What is happening?
Have you never seen like a bronze banana? What's that called?
Flambé.
Flambé, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I have.
It is indeed flammable.
But are you putting Pop-Tarts over candles or something? Are you roasting Pop-Tarts by the fire?
Just telling you what happened to me as a kid.
I know. You are very traumatized by this.
Yeah, I am afraid of fire.
I can tell.
Fire. I can just hear the fire alarm in my current home going, fire,
fire, fire,
fire,
fire.
Yeah,
it's like, you're a fire alarm. You don't have to say the word. I understand your function. I don't have multiple alarms around the home.
Quick question. What's your favorite Pop-Tart flavor?
I think Pop-Tarts are wildly overrated. I think they're wildly overrated. They're way too dry. I feel like you need like a beverage with them just to like get them down.
A s'mores Pop-Tart is definitely one of my favorite things in the world.
I think, I'd go blueberry probably, but I don't love them. I really don't love Pop-Tarts. I think they're overrated. They're awful for you, for one.
Awful.
Awful.
That's either another great airport snack. They were named Pop-Tarts because they were inspired by Pop Art,
yeah.
Which is...
It's like Andy Warhol probably has a claim, too. He didn't get mentioned in the article either.
Wow, you're really pissed about the people taking credit.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You took a shot at Dan Post.
They need to do another investigation into this. Who's telling the truth, Keebler or Dan Post? Who invented the Pop-Tart?
I don't know.
No one does.
Let's get into today's taste test, Jacob.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, File a claim right on the State Farm mobile app and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Okay, so I was getting, this is great, because there was a commercial on the Super Bowl.
There was?
Yes.
Just one?
Many commercials. Oh. This one featured Aubrey Plaza.
Okay.
And it had Baja Blast Mountain Dew. And I was like, now Baja Blast is not just available exclusively at Taco Bell as it was previously, it's now available in stores. So I was like, you know what? Let's do a Mountain Dew taste test of Baja Blast. And then I said to myself, when I learned that you've never had Dr. Pepper, I was like, how is that possible, right?
It's funny you mentioned that.
How does a human get this far without trying Dr. Pepper?
It's funny you mentioned that, because when you asked me about our next drink, I was like, did we have it on the podcast? And I've now realized that was Dr. Pepper, which yes. I had never had. But in my head, they're similar, because today
then
we're having.
When I was buying the Mountain Dew, I said, I bet Juliet Livin has never had Mountain Dew.
I haven't.
And she's never had Mountain Dew. Everyone listening to this podcast is like, what? Every single person listening to this podcast has had Mountain Dew. I promise you, all 45 of them have had Mountain Dew. So we're going to do classic Mountain Dew first and then Baja Blast.
Do you like Mountain Dew?
I love Mountain Dew.
You do?
I do not like Mountain Dew. I love Mountain Dew. It is fantastic. It is wildly unhealthy, as all sodas are.
You just poured a lot. You're expecting me to drink a lot of it? What does it taste like? What's the flavor profile?
That is what I'm going to ask you. It's honestly, it's like finding an alien. It's like the idea that this is your first Mountain Dew taste, and because it doesn't say like lemon lime on anything, I'm curious. I want you to take a sip and explain to the people what you are tasting. Mountain Dew,
I'm smelling it first.
Is nectar of the gods.
It smells like Sprite.
It's so good. It's so much different than Sprite. I love Mountain Dew. Please tell the people, this is the very first sip of Mountain Dew that Juliet Livin has ever had, and she's 26 years old.
If only. I needed to have a second sip. It wasn't a big enough sip.
See, first of all, you complained about how much I poured, and now you're getting a second sip. What is going on?
It tastes like Sprite.
What?
It does.
Sprite?
Yeah.
Wow. Does Mountain Dew taste like
Sprite?
It's
like lemony.
I don't know. When you ask me questions like, what does Mountain Dew taste like? I'm like, Mountain Dew?
It tastes like Sprite.
I guess.
And so what's the point of Baja Blast?
Baja Blast is a Baja version of Mountain Dew.
Mexican?
No.
Can I see the bottle, please?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so I'm just going to see what it says. Baja Blast with a natural and artificial tropical lime flavor. Can you hand me the other bottle?
Tropical lime. Yeah. Wow, I've never done this kind of research before.
Mountain Dew has no indication of what it tastes like.
Yeah, and
it
also says Mountain Dew, which is a really weird name for a soda when you think about it.
I will say, if someone was like, what does Coca-Cola taste like? I'd be like, Coca-Cola.
Holy shit. Do you know what I just realized?
What?
When they named Sierra Mist, they were like, Mountain Dew's popular. How do we say Mountain Dew differently?
Oh, that's really funny.
I just realized that. It never crossed my mind that Sierra Mist is just Mountain Dew with different words.
But isn't Sierra Mist a competitor of Sprite?
I think so. Yes, it is.
So they all do taste the same.
Mountain Dew does not taste like Sprite, and everyone listening knows that.
Okay, I'm going to taste the Mountain Dew Baja Blast. And I'll be tasting for the natural and artificial tropical lime flavor.
Mm. Yeah, that, I don't know what that tastes like.
This tastes like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, it's a very different taste than the traditional Mountain Dew. This has a little bit of like a cotton candy vibe.
This is weird.
It tastes like cotton candy, kind of.
I like the smell. I like the smell of it.
So you
it
like
reminds
the scent.
Me of like a carnival.
Is okay.
Cotton candy like?
Yeah.
Perhaps?
Yeah.
I buy that. I do feel like I'm on another planet right now.
I feel like you're from another planet right now.
This is super weird.
Do you know one of the problems with Mountain Dew is? Flammable. It could be a fire hazard.
I have bad news for you.
What's that?
You often try to make it seem like I'm the crazy one. But you are no sense. The crazy one.
Because the Pop-Tart is perforated, it's flammable.
Because it would open in half, and it would have exposed sugar, jelly.
Yeah.
We need a scientist to call to 646-2-138.
We need an actual scientist.
Let's get into personal food news. I will go first, as per usual.
Okay.
Much like you mentioned you have kids, I may have mentioned that I like La Colombe coffee.
Yes, you may have mentioned that.
La Colombe came out with some K-Cups. We may have discussed this.
Oh.
I bought them.
Mm-hmm.
They were expensive, but the La Colombe website was having a sale, and I was like, I'm going to treat myself.
Love a sale.
I think I paid like $22 for 20 pods, which is a lot. Cheaper than buying coffee at a coffee shop, though, especially in New York. This K-Cup coffee is so fucking good that I had three cups in one morning. I never
what?
And I drank all of them. It didn't even get cold. I'm a slow drinker. It is the best K-Cup coffee I have ever had.
And K-Cup is Keurig, right?
Keurig, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so
three
good.
Cups is
I'm
too not, much.
I'm honestly, yeah, my dad was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm not even saying this to try to get sponsored, though, of course,
well,
I'd accept
a little bit,
it.
A little bit.
Seriously, it is so good. You can get them online. I really recommend them. If you're a Keurig user like me, there's two brews. I got the medium roast because that's what I like. They also have a dark roast. It is so good. Jacoby, it's shocking. I'm like, look forward to having my home coffee, not just for the ritual, but for the taste. Like, usually I'm like, gotta have coffee, gotta get my day
yeah,
going.
Yeah, of course.
Now I'm like, gotta have coffee. It tastes so good. It's
the best
crazy.
Part of waking up is
La Colombe in my cup.
In your cup, yeah.
It is so good. I highly recommend.
Wow. What do you think Sofia Vergara would think?
Oh, she would probably judge me. But she would be able to tell
no,
us from
she's
the
K-Cup, yeah.
But she would like still support me.
Yeah, she would support you. I believe so, too. All right. I love soup. You
okay.
can follow me at Jacoby on Soup on TikTok. It's
my, do you post my, there?
No, I don't. Okay. But I love soup. You know that. You know, ever since you've known me, you know I'm a soup guy.
Sure.
I'll have a two-soup lunch from time to time. Just get two soups. And I like French onion soup. However, sometimes the layer of Gruyere cheese is a little too intense for me. And it's too thick, and I feel like I don't want a fork and knife in my soup experience.
Interesting. So why do you like the bread that comes in it?
I like the bread. I actually like the onion broth a lot.
Yeah, I love that.
Like,
onion
I
broth.
Love the onion
it's really
broth.
Really good.
So yesterday I ordered French onion soup, and I told the guy, and I was like, can I have light cheese? And he looked at me like, what? Like, honestly, he was
where
like,
was this?
He did not compute. It was at an Irish bar.
See, I've never once thought about customizing my French onion soup. I'm just like,
I customize
everything. It comes as it is.
Yeah, I customize everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a customizer.
You're high maintenance order.
High maintenance order.
You're like Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally.
Yes, I'm a very high maintenance order. And he looked at me crazy, and it came back with just a regular French onion soup. So here is my personal food news.
Okay.
I'm now going to order French onion soup sans cheese.
Hold the cheese.
Hold the cheese. Your thoughts?
I need to let this sink in, much like a piece of bread in French onion soup. I like it. I usually eat around the cheese. Like, I like the cheese.
It's just too much.
It also just, like, I think of soup as, like, a healthful option, and then you put a ton of cheese on top, and you've blown that out of the water.
Also, because the cheese is melted, you don't treat it like cheese. But if you looked at that block of cheese before they melted it, you'd be like, oh, I'm eating that as, like, an appetizer?
I really would like for somebody to just like teach me how to make French onion broth. I'm like, now that you've mentioned it, I'm like, I should be making that at home.
It can't be
so,
that hard, right?
It can't
just
be.
Water and onions.
Or like, yeah, or like stock and some, onions.
Yeah,
it sounds
beef
really,
stock and onions is what I imagine
really
it is.
But it's so interesting. That's like not a food that I ever once thought to customize. I'm just like, that's the way it comes. It's how they do it here.
Yeah.
I have to accept it.
I'm going
it.
No cheese.
Wow. So did you like it when it arrived yesterday?
Yeah, it was fine. But it was too cheesy.
Oh, so he
so
didn't
I haven't
do
done
it.
This yet. Oh. I was like, oh, next time I'm going to go no cheese. Moving forward, I'm a no cheese in my French onion soup person.
Oh, where does French onion soup land in your personal rankings of like your go-to soups?
Low.
Oh,
low.
Because of the cheese?
No, what happens with French onion soup as a voracious. Yeah. Soup consumer. What I've learned is French onion soup is the constant soup on the menu, and they usually have a soup of the day. Mm. So the only instances in which I will order the French onion soup is if the soup of the day is like disgusting. And it's
a go-to for me.
It was New England clam chowder from an Irish bar.
No way.
I was like, no chance I'm doing that.
That's a trip to the emergency room.
Yes. So I went with the French onion soup.
French onion soup is a go-to for me. If it's on a menu, I'm likely to order it.
Really?
I love it. Yes. It's so delicious and flavorful.
It's really good.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to enjoy it more without the cheese.
All right. That's on you. Fair enough.
Okay.
That's all we got for today. Call us about your weirdest customizations or most unexpected. Give us a call at 646-STEW-138.